Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, fighting has intensified as Iran and Israel have exchanged attacks for a fourth day. Iranian rockets have killed at least 11 in Israel, and explosions have been reported in Tehran as well. Iran's intelligence chief has been reported dead. We're joined now by Tara Kangerlou, who's global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran and adjunct professor at Georgetown University. Tara, you're very welcome to the programme. Before I speak with you, can I play you and our listeners a clip? This is apparently, according to reports, the moment when Iranian state TV went off air after IDF bombing.
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیو
And in the images, you see debris falling in studio and the presenter fleeing into darkness. Tara, you're very welcome to the programme. You refer to that in your own social media as well.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Before we get to that breaking news, you mentioned the death toll in Israel, and I have to say, in Iran, 406 people have been killed. And the number of injuries are in the hundreds. So the death toll is quite high in Iran, and it's only increasing. As for the attacks that just moments ago happened in the Iran's broadcasting, you know, the national broadcasting building. In fact, I had a friend of mine working in that building that he called me really crying, and it was just a horrible situation. He managed to leave the building. I also want to mention that you know, to put things in perspective and contextualize, not every single person who works for the Iranian government and in these buildings are necessarily government officials. They are civilians who work for various entities and are not necessarily in support of the regime. And these are the nuances of the Iranian society that is extremely important to note.
Well, can I just point out to people the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, did say before that strike took place, he said, we're about to strike Iranian state TV. And he said something along the lines, I'm looking for the quote, which I'll have in just a moment, that the propaganda machine will no longer be able to tell its message. That was his line.
Yes, two points of that. On that, I think historically, again, you and I have covered a lot of conflicts around the world. I think we can understand that strikes and bombs really don't kill ideology. They really just destroy cities and infrastructures and people's lives. And having lived in Iran, I will say Tehran is an extremely dense city. Any warning as such cannot mitigate human death toll and human injuries. There are nearly 10 million people who live in Tehran. And you can just imagine how can there be movement? How can there be effective evacuation when orders as such are given?
Tara, how will those 10 million people view the situation right now with the IDF? And it appears to be true, according to some reports. They say they control the skies over Tehran right
now. They do. Yes, they do. They do. The IDF, and this is something that was evident two nights ago, and I think I might have said it on your air or elsewhere, IDF is in full control of Iranian skies. And again, that speaks to the incompetence of the Iranian regime. And this is something I think might be interesting to your viewers, is that the Iranian people is stuck between the incompetence and lunacy of their own regime and the aggression of the Israeli government. And they have been stuck in this limbo for long. I spoke to a young girl who actually lived in that District 3, you referred to IDF's evacuation order, which was directing to that District 3. Mm-hmm. She lives there. She left the city hours ago before the evacuation order. And I talked to her, and she said, we pleaded to the world in our peaceful protests that were stifled by the regime. No one listened to us. And here we are caught up in this war, a war that we did not want. And this is a sentiment of majority of Iranian people. They don't want this. But quite frankly, they are the ones bearing the brunt.
Well, it is incredible the picture you paint, because you say the Iranian people are stuck between the incompetence and lunacy of their regime and the aggression of Israel. And bizarrely, some might say, the world is looking now to President Trump of the US. What could he do, do you think, to de-escalate the situation?
I mean, isn't that the irony of it all, right? Quite frankly, I think he is the one who holds the key to all of this. He can put an end to this madness. I think the U.S. president has the power. He ran on the promise. He campaigned on the promise of not engaging in America's forever wars, not starting new conflicts. And just hours ago, he said, we still can put an end and bring Israel and Iran to some form of negotiation. I don't think that negotiation, he alluded to the nuclear negotiation, but perhaps some sort of a ceasefire. But then again, we are seeing two naval vessels coming toward the Middle East. And so, again, these contradictions are something that we're following very closely.
Yeah.
But the person who can really stop this is Donald Trump.
How long will this go on? Because I spoke to you on Friday, as you say, Tara, and we were trying to figure out what the aim of the Israelis were and if whether it was regime change or not. How long has your assessment as to the aims and also the timeline for this changed over the weekend, may I ask?
I think this is one of the fastest moving stories that I've covered in my 15 years of career as a journalist. Some points to mention: Iran militarily is weak. Israel has the might and backing of U.S. military. So, you know, no offense to Kia, but it's comparing, you know, Kia to Ferrari. That's where the Iranians are. Iran has lost a lot of its military infrastructure, a lot of its military heads. Psychologically, the government is in shambles. So they cannot defend the country. Ultimately, I think the Gulf region, I think they are the ones who are calling specifically Oman and Qatar, as well as Turkey, by the way. They want to mediate and they all want to put an end to this. So it's a wait and see game and the stakes are quite high.
The stakes are really high. Can I ask you finally if you think Israel is using this, using the strikes on Iran as a distraction from global criticism of their offensive in Gaza? And if that is so, how do you think the Gulf states you mentioned, the Arab states, will react to this?
Well, quite frankly, you cannot distract from one bad behavior by engaging in another awful behavior, right? So I'm not sure if that distraction is to their benefit. I mean, around the world, I'm following, there's so many people coming out in support of Iranian people. So I don't think Israel Israel is shooting itself in the leg when it comes to preserving its face on an international stage. However, G7 is happening right now. The three countries have come in support of Israel, and the backing of Israel is strong. What will happen? Again, it's really wait and see. But I don't think Israel is doing this unintentionally, and their acts are quite deliberate.
Okay.
And Bibi Netanyahu said himself, this was in the works for months.
Okay, and it's really fast moving, as you say.
Yes.
Tara Kangerlou, thank you very much indeed for joining us, global affairs journalist and author of The Heartbeat of Iran, also adjunct professor at Georgetown University. I should say that after five, we'll hear from the Israeli opposition MP Moshe Terpaz.